It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now is the missionary David Banda, talking to us about the issues of death and resurrection. And well, yesterday we started by talking about death, whether it is a transition or the end. And that was a bit of a conversation to have. And now we're continuing from where we left off yesterday. Today we're talking about reincarnation versus resurrection. Reincarnation versus resurrection. Ever wonder if you might come back as a butterfly or a barrister in your next life? Do you even believe in the concept of a next life? Well, let's unravel this concept. Let's unravel this fascinating concept of reincarnation and see how it stacks up against the cornerstone of Christian faith, the resurrection. Spoiler alert, this discussion will have more twists than a pretzel at a carnival. Join me now, Missionary David Banda. Missionary, good afternoon to you. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Lovely. Yeah, lovely. Did you, were you able to find some answers, some clarity for us yesterday? We ended our conversation with you finding some answers for us and come back to present them to us today. Were you able to?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
Oh yeah. The text we are looking at, that was 1 Peter 3. Let me just look at where it is, so that we get to get there.
Not a
problem. You have the Bible, huh?
Yes, I can. I can. I can find it too.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
That was 1 Peter 3, verse 19, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So I'll start from 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Okay, so this is where we have to pick it from. So Christ was dead and was made alive by the what? By the Spirit. Now, 19. By whom also he went. Who is this whom in the picture? It is the Holy Spirit, not Jesus Christ. Went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, when in this context, the prison, it's people in sin, people who are bondaged in sin. Those are the people who went to be preached to. Now, verses 20 gives us a clear indication of what was happening now. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Now, the Holy Spirit, which went to preach in the time of Noah, preached through using what? Noah. So, the prison being mentioned here, where the people who are in bondage of sin, who are enslaved in sin, who are chained in sin, these are people who are depicted as they were in prison. And the whom mentioned here to say, by whom also he went, it was the Holy Spirit who went and preached to those people.
So that Holy Spirit is the one that preached.
Sure.
It went to people through who were already dead.
No, people who were alive.
But this happened when? When did this happen?
Okay, so this happened during the time of Noah. When Noah was preaching, that's when the Holy Spirit used him to preach. So here he was just making a continuation, or rather, should I say, a comparison of how the Holy Spirit was working. I'm sure this 18 sounds it better and clears it all. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So there are two subjects here. The first one is Jesus Christ. The other one is the Holy Spirit. Now, the continuation from 19, by whom? So it was the Holy Spirit that went and preached during the time of Noah. Those were 8 people that were
just,
saved.
Just
the
help
time
us there. Just walk with me there, because I do want us to follow this nicely. Verse 18 sure. says, for it is better beg your pardon, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He, who is the he here? When it says he was put to death, who was put to death?
Here it was Jesus Christ who was put to death.
All right. So it says he, being Jesus, was put to death in the body. So Jesus was put to death in the body, correct?
Yes.
But made alive in the spirit. Who was made alive in the spirit?
Actually, I don't which version, I don't know the version using, but mine is it's a bit simpler to understand it.
No. The question here is this: who was made alive in the spirit?
Who was made? It was the Holy Spirit.
So the Holy Spirit was made alive in the spirit.
No, the Holy Spirit is the one that made Jesus Christ to resurrect.
I'm asking, so who was made alive?
It was Jesus Christ who was made alive.
All right. So Jesus was dead in the spirit, but was resurrected in the spirit.
No, was resurrected by the spirit.
All right. So the spirit resurrected Jesus who was dead.
Yes.
All right. So it says he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So you're saying Jesus was dead and resurrected by the spirit.
Yes.
So verse 19 says, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. So Jesus went to make proclamation to the spirits.
No, this wasn't Jesus who went to proclaim.
But that's what it says here. It says, after being made alive, who was made alive?
That was Jesus Christ who was made alive here.
So the same who was made alive, he went and made proclamation.
Okay.
That's what it reads, right? After being made alive. So whatever was made alive, whether it is the spirit or Jesus, that which was dead and then was made alive, that same thing went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So who? Yeah, go ahead.
I think before we look at who, there is need to understand the prison spirits. These spirits that are in prison.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Bible says, my version says he preached to the spirits in prison. The spirits in prison. So these spirits in prison simply depicts that those people who are bondaged in sin.
Where do we get that from? So where do you get it from that spirits are now people? Here it says spirit, imprisoned spirits. Help us understand how you describe or define spirits.
Okay. Let's come to Genesis 6, verse 3, so that it can help us to understand that maybe.
Okay. Genesis 6.
Verse 3.
Okay.
And the Bible says this word, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not thrive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet this day shall be 120 years.
I'm listening.
So the spirit being depicted in Genesis 6:3, it is again the same spirit being mentioned in 1 Peter 3 verses 3 verses 19.
So here, Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever. So we're talking about whose spirit here?
It is God's spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit.
So it's God's spirit we're talking about in Genesis. But here, it's not talking about God's spirit. It's talking about the spirits, the imprisoned spirits. Is it not so?
Okay. I was trying to look at the spirit that resurrected Jesus. You're with me?
I'm not asking not about that now. My question was not about that spirit. My question is about who was being preached to. We've already established that Jesus was resurrected and became spirit, or whatever, was made spirit. but now it's who was being preached to. Who were these proclamations made to? Here, verse 19 says it's imprisoned spirits. Who are these imprisoned spirits? Or what are these imprisoned spirits?
Okay, so to 20, who now 20 continues to describe these imprisoned spirits.
Right.
Sure.
To who those
former were disobedient.
Yeah, go ahead.
When divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water.
Right.
Sure. So here it is clear that this spirit was the these spirits which were in prison were the people of during the time of Noah.
Okay. So you're saying Jesus died and resurrected in the spirit and went to the days of Noah and preached to people who died then. Is that what you're saying?
No.
What are you saying?
Okay. So this is a very controversial.
Indeed.
I know the text, which is controversial. Okay.
Okay. Look, we don't have to deal with it now because it is a very engaged topic. We could set time on a different day and deal with only this. You're absolutely right. It's a very controversial topic, and we don't have to deal with it now. We can just continue and talk about what we were planning to talk about today. Is that okay?
That's even better.
Okay, not a problem. So today we're talking about reincarnation and resurrection. Give us definitions. What is reincarnation?
Okay, reincarnation, it's simply a belief that the soul of man or woman, when that person dies, has life after death.
Right.
In other words, we can say is to take a flesh again. It literally means to take flesh again.
Okay.
Like when someone dies, then there and then the soul again reincarnates, or should I say, let her be born again into another physical body.
Okay.
So this is the whole thing under reincarnation. It's also belief that soul or spirit after biological death begins a new life in a new body. That may be human, animal, or spirits, depending on your previous moral life.
Mm. And resurrection? What's resurrection?
Okay, resurrection is the restoration of life.
So what's the difference between the two?
So resurrection, there is restoration of life, while reincarnation is to be born again into another physical body. So, resurrection, the same body you are using is the same body that is being restored. Mm. But under incarnation, you're born into something else.
Okay. So what are
then
the... Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Oh, so resurrection, it's like you wake up from sleep, like how death is being described in the Bible as a sleep. So resurrection, you wake up from sleep. What is the incarnation? Immediately after you die, then you reincarnate into something else, or you'll be born into something else.
Okay. So what are the fundamental beliefs behind the concept of reincarnation, and how do they differ from the Christian understanding of resurrection?
Come again?
I'm looking for the fundamental beliefs behind the concept of reincarnation and how, if at all, they differ from the Christian understanding of resurrection.
Okay. The fundamental belief behind it is that when a person dies, he gets to be born into something else. He gets to be born into maybe like an animal, a human being, or maybe spirit, depending on the previous moral life. This is the major belief behind it, that there is life after death. Immediately there is life. Immediately you die, you still transition into something else. That's the whole belief behind reincarnation.
So how does the Bible describe resurrection?
Okay. Resurrection is being described, our first quote from, what's this? 1 Thessalonians 4, this is, my main interest is 16, but you can read 18 to 17, but my main interest is 16. First Thessalonians. So First Thessalonians describe this as rising from the dead. Again, when you go to John 5, this is should you read them, or I can just quote them? It's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Then John 5, this is 28-29, you are going to discover that resurrection is coming forth from the grave. It may not be from the, but there is coming forth the restoration of life.
Mm.
Sure.
All right. Are those the key scriptures you have for us, or do you have others?
I think for now, in case of illness or otherwise, these are the major ones that
okay.
describe what resurrection is being described in the Bible.
Okay. So in what ways do the teachings of Jesus affirm the belief in resurrection as opposed to incarnation or reincarnation?
Okay. Jesus was very clear in his saying. One of the best ways that Jesus affirmed his teachings of resurrection, it's found in John 11, verse 23, where Jesus said to her, meaning Mary, your brother will rise again. As it has been described in 1 Thessalonians, saying it is rising from the dead. So after Lazarus had died, then Mary and Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you were here, our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus gives them assurance to say, your brother will rise again, meaning he will resurrect. If you want, you can replace it. Your brother will resurrect again.
Right.
Again, we find the same thing again when Jesus now reached to the place where Lazarus was buried.
Mm.
Then he gives he says these words in John 11, verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection.
Right.
Meaning in all his ways, he's shown that he's the resurrection and there is a resurrection.
Mm.
Sure.
Okay. So the purpose, how do the purpose of life and the afterlife differ between reincarnation and Christian resurrection?
Okay. Actually, this is the most important part of today's lesson, the purpose of it. Why people should believe in reincarnation, or why is it important to believe in resurrection? So it gives you a perspective of how you live about your life.
Okay.
Imagine I believe that if I die, I'm going to be born in a butterfly, as you gave it in your introduction.
Okay.
I to be born into a butterfly. How would be my living here on earth? Probably in my understanding, I know that a butterfly anyone can kill a butterfly. So I won't be that careful with my living. I will believe in careless, knowing that I still have another chance. I still have another life coming ahead of me. Even if I die today, I have another life to make it right with me. I have another life to make it right in my moral life.
Uh-huh.
So this gives a clear understanding to say, you believe. Let's say I believe in the resurrection. I'll be very clear and neat in the way I live my moral life.
Right.
I'll rise above this wicked world to prove myself and to be able to strive for perfection,
right.
To strive to follow the footsteps of Jesus, knowing that one day if I are to die, I'll resurrect to a better life.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Final question. People who believe in reincarnation also talk about karma. So it seems as though these are two different paths. While we Christians speak of grace, they talk of karma. So how do the concepts of karma and grace play into the beliefs of reincarnation and resurrection, respectively?
Okay. I'll start maybe with karma. So karma, it's a belief that it's very close to reincarnation. It's a belief that what you are doing now will affect your life, in which way to be born, and so the belief behind it is if you are generous, if you are very good in your spiritual life, then you'll be born into something better. Probably a very good animal, probably a very good person if your moral life was very upright, What is the so them they based the salvation or being born into something better based on deeds alone. Whereas grace shows that It is because of his love and mercy and grace that was shown that we are able to receive this gift of salvation. So under karma and reincarnation, you will know to say, if I are to be saved, it's just my deeds alone. You don't need any grace. You don't need any mediator. So what is the grace and resurrection gives us an assurance to say, grace and resurrection gives us assurance to say, and it gives us hope and it gives us a mind to say, there is one who gifted us with this salvation. Therefore, we ought to treasure it in the way we live. So that's how by accepting that gift of grace, you perfect your living. You try to live like Christ, like you try to live a life of pleasing God rather than men.
Okay. Wow. All right.
So this is the major one.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Look, I'm going to leave it right there. We'll pick up our conversation tomorrow as we continue along this concept of understanding death and what happens after death. Missionary David Banda, thank you very much for your time.
Welcome.
All right. That's how we end our conversation for today.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.